each and every show, we tee it up with our friends from Talk Radio News. Jeff Holtzman joins us, and he's actually outside of the White House. Jeff covers all kinds of things in Washington, as does, obviously, the network. And all eyes are on the White House. In fact, Jeff, as you know, that whole thing with the executive order to punch up overtime has got people talking. It really, as I call it, blew up the phone lines on America Tonight. Tell us the deal on that.
Well, so, Kate, current regulations require employers to pay overtime to salaried workers that are making less than $455 a week. The president is going to try and redefine which employees can be classified as, quote, executive or professional, and thus ineligible for overtime pay. So the idea is to extend overtime pay to as many as 10 million workers who are currently ineligible.
Ooh, so you can imagine, like, the Chamber of Commerce, which has some of the biggest lobbyists and the most lobbyists in D.C., you can bet, Jeff, that they're working behind the scenes, because now businesses, you know the counter thing to this, that they're going to have to lay people off if they have certain requirements, right?
Right, sure, yeah. I mean, the trade associations are up in arms over this. They're frustrated because, Kate, they've already been battling the White House over the president's proposal to raise the minimum wage nationally to $10.10 per hour. A lot of pro-business groups are saying that, yes, it will increase wages for low-income workers, but at the same time, it'll force employers to tighten their belts and perhaps even slice jobs from their payrolls. And so this proposal to force employers to give out more overtime pay would sort of have the same, you know, consequences. You'd have workers that would be able to benefit from it, but employers themselves would find themselves squeezed a little bit. So it's a give and take. Now, the president, this is interesting, he needs Congress to raise the minimum wage on a national level. He does not necessarily need Congress to do this, to expand the definition of those who qualify for overtime pay. So that's what he's doing. He's signing an executive order. And the Labor Department is going to, in a sense, put together new rules. Now, those rules aren't the be-all, end-all. I mean, they could be challenged in court, and I'm assuming that they will, much like the president's EPA, new EPA regulations are being challenged in court. I'm assuming this will be challenged as well by pro-business groups.
Wow. All right, so we'll see where that all filters down. On Obamacare, it's, you know, obviously it's the same thing in talk radio. You know this, Jeff. This is the story that's not going away, affecting millions of lives in different directions. Some people say it's had a positive impact, and, of course, an avalanche of people are talking about premiums and what's happening and why do they have to sign up and fees and all that kind of stuff and fines. So Kathleen Sebelius was on the Hill talking about it. What was the main gist of her conversation with Congress?
Well, the biggest question that lawmakers want to know, particularly Republican lawmakers, is will Obamacare cause health insurance premiums to go up or down? And Sebelius said that that premiums will go up. She didn't necessarily say it was because of the Affordable Care Act, I should say, but she said that they are expected to be going up in 2015. She said that, comparatively speaking, they're going up at a slower rate in 2015 than they would have been going up, you know, before the law was in place. So Sebelius is suggesting that Obamacare is slightly to credit for the fact that premiums are going up, but they're not going up as much as they could be. Nonetheless, Republicans are telling Sebelius, look, you guys promised us back, you know, 3-4 years ago that the law would at least stabilize premiums and at best force them to go down. So Republicans are not happy with the fact that the law is failing to actually lower premiums. And so that's one thing. Another thing that Sebelius is telling lawmakers is that, you know, despite the fact that open enrollment ends at the end of this month, people who are sort of going through the process of signing up for benefits but haven't been successful at doing so may have an opportunity later down the line this year to enroll during a special period. And that's interesting because obviously the administration has been getting hammered on the fact that they haven't enrolled as many people as they had originally hoped. They wanted 7 million people enrolled in a private health insurance plan by the end of March. Right now, according to their numbers, the most they have enrolled is 4.2 million Americans, and they haven't really been able to say how many of those people have actually paid their first month's premium, which, of course, is the determining factor in whether you're enrolled in a policy or not. So what Sebelius is saying is that more people at some point later this year might get the opportunity to take advantage of a special enrollment period. Republicans are saying, well, you know, that's not fair because, you know, I mean, that they're saying that the administration is going to try to count that toward their initial numbers and that that shouldn't be counted toward their initial numbers. It's sort of a convoluted argument, but the bottom line is Republicans are upset that the administration has provided flexibility and waivers and things like that and exemptions. Republicans are saying, look, if you're going to keep doing this, if you're going to keep executively changing the law in terms of deadlines and other things, then why not exempt people from this individual mandate tax, which if you don't have coverage by the end of this month and you can, you know, and you're able to get coverage, then you're going to have to pay a tax on your taxes next year. And Republicans want that pushed back. So far, though, the administration has said that they are not going to budge on that. If you don't have insurance after March 31st and you're eligible and you're able, I should say, to do so, you're going to have to pay some sort of minimum tax.
Wow. All right, so you said it all in a nutshell. Last thing, you met the new Ukrainian prime minister. Tell us what that was like, because, of course, that's the other spot in the world that everybody is watching. The referendum is coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, there's going to be a referendum on Sunday where Crimeans, people living in that Crimea region of Ukraine, are going to be able to vote on whether they want to, you know, basically secede away from Ukraine and become a Russian territory. Now, what the White House is saying is that regardless of what happens with that referendum, they're not going to recognize, you know, that vote. That referendum is expected to pass, but the White House is saying they're not going to recognize it. And the new Ukrainian Prime Minister, Arseniy Yatsenyuk, was at the White House on Wednesday. He met with the president behind closed doors. Afterwards, he talked to reporters, and he said that, quote, the new regime will never surrender to the Russians. In other words, he is not going to quit the fight to keep Crimea in Ukraine and to drive Vladimir Putin and Russian forces out of Ukraine. That's kind of interesting, taking a very defiant tone. And then the president said, you know, he mentioned the fact that John Kerry is on his way to meet with the Russian foreign minister to try and resolve this thing diplomatically. The president said, we don't know what our diplomatic efforts will yield, but we're going to keep on pressing.
Wow. Interesting. So there you are in D.C., and it looks like you're getting blown all over the place because you're, you know, from the prime minister to hearing about this executive order and covering the White House and everything in between, which to give people a visual, which means you have to run all over the place in between some of these buildings sometimes. Are you like Mary Poppins? Do you have an umbrella?
If I did, I wouldn't have to worry about dealing with traffic. I mean, the wind's strong enough here to blow me all over the place, so maybe I got to work on that.
Wow, is everybody just talking about that, the wind?
Yeah, I mean, it's we've just had some freaky weather altogether on the East Coast, but particularly in D.C. I mean, it was 65 degrees and cool and nice on Wednesday, and somehow, you know, we're dealing with 25-degree temperatures and 40-mile-an-hour winds on Thursday. It's just, you know, it's always really, really just eccentric weather here, but this year it's been extremely amplified, and, you know, I mean, just spring can't come fast enough. We're just getting tired of it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Jeff Holtzman, thanks so much.
Okay, see ya.
Bye. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Coming up, the reason Chris Christie will never be president. Thanks for cruising along with us here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. In the meantime, a couple of quick things here on odds and ends. In other words, we're getting you caught up on what I think is truly the buzz, not just across the country, but probably something that you're talking about in your neighborhood. The plane, the missing plane. You know why? Because at some point in our lives, and maybe there are some of you listening to me that, one, don't like planes, have never gotten on a plane, hang in your hood and really didn't feel any reason to ever travel beyond the borders. But for the most part, I feel very secure in saying that at least 75% of you at some point in your life have gotten on a plane and gone somewhere. And there is a thing, I think, in our heads when we fly that, whoa, we're, you know, in this steel bird with our lives at stake, and we're not in control. We're not in control of what happens. So when something happens to a plane, especially when it just disappears, that scares us. That makes us uncomfortable. And there were only a handful of Americans on this plane, but there were certainly other families. And there's a syndrome for that. It's the limbo syndrome, which is a terrible thing. You have no idea what's happened. So it's more than being blindsided. You can't, as you try to come to terms with the loss, you don't really know. Is it for sure a loss? Did those people fall out of the sky somewhere and we just haven't found the plane yet? It seems likely that that's the scenario. In fact, I was just before we hopped on the air watching one of the cable shows, and they had three or four people commenting on what could have happened with the plane and terrorism and was it a hijacking. And one of the guests was insistent that it was a hijacking, that this plane, we have no evidence that this plane went down. We cannot go on the conspiracy theory that it was sucked out of the atmosphere somehow, kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. No. And now news comes that Flight 370 probably is at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. Because analysts, especially from U.S. intelligence quarters, say that, and that means the FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board, who are on top of this, say that the pings, you know, you get those pings sent to a satellite just after the last signal likely came from the missing jet, are coming from the bottom of the Indian Ocean. I mean, we've talked about this. There are lots of theories. Other planes have vanished. Amelia Earhart, where's her plane? Different size plane, not a 777. But, yeah, other planes have disappeared. But the clues, the facts, all of that, just such a small amount of information. So freaky. You've talked about this. I bet you've talked about this. Did they find that plane yet? Today I stopped to fill up my car. Just got out, you know, did the old thing where I had to punch in the numbers, hit the kind of gas I wanted. Guy comes up and he's right across from me, looks over, smiles. Hey, how you doing? Good. Think they found anything new on that flight? Boom, starts the conversation. So I know if it's a buzz in my backyard, there's a good likelihood that it's a buzz in your backyard. And I think the reason is because it's such a freaky, first of all, it's a freaky story. And the idea of the flight, the idea that you, boom, you get on a flight and you're going just like anyone else. They're on the flight. They're going from Kuala Lumpur. Boom. They're going to go to China and they're in air space that should be simple. They should be cruising. And then all of a sudden they're missing. I mean, there's a Navy destroyer on the way to that spot in the ocean. The Malaysian government asked for help. So that's what they're doing. And, you know, it's not easy, apparently, moving into the Indian Ocean. I saw a commander of the 7th Fleet who was being interviewed and said, think of it this way. You're going from a chessboard, pretty much, to a football field, and this is the reason why. Remember when you had geography? The Indian Ocean is the world's third largest ocean, and in most places, it's deeper than other areas where search crews are looking. So it's very difficult to find things in the Indian Ocean, because we're talking about being buried really, really deep. Now, you know, they're trying to pull this together in the airplane's data system. They're looking, trying to figure out what kind of information that they're pursuing that, obviously, in this investigation, because that would help. And the pings, they really believe the pings are from that 777. They think that the plane flew for 4 hours. And then that would kind of, you know, it was flying over the Indian Ocean, and then the pinging, that kind of matches up there. Because transmitters kick in automatically in fresh or salt water, but they remain kind of on the surface for a distress signal to, you know, they're on the surface transmitting it. So if the beacon didn't activate, that means maybe the plane didn't crash, the transmitter had a problem. Or, guess what? It's underwater somewhere. It's underwater somewhere. So, it's not reliable. It's not airtight. But, it's looking like this is a serious possibility. Otherwise, the Navy, at the request of the Malaysian government, and we're helping, wouldn't pull out the stops to get there. They feel like this is a really solid lead, that this is a possibility, that the searchers, leading the searchers to the Indian Ocean, it's not conclusive, but it's looking good. I mean, good in the sense that it's pretty reliable. So they've decided to pursue it. And for the families, I hope they find this plane. Because to have the limbo syndrome, I think, would be the worst thing ever. To just, in your mind, play it over and over again and have your mind trick you as well and think, oh, no, these people are alive. Something else happened. The plane landed somewhere else or whatever. I think would be the worst thing ever to deal with that, to try to think of your daughter, your son, your husband, your friends, whatever, who's ever on the plane. All right, in the meantime, I want to slide over to this because the other thing that would get maybe even a little bit of buzz, because I think this is discussed, but this is a waiting game thing, so we kind of shelve it away. Whereas the plane, wow, that's missing. Geez, that's all. Where's this plane? Where's this beacon? Where's this pinging? But Russia has until Monday now to reverse course in the Ukraine. That's what the Secretary of State, John Kerry, threw down. He warned, this was the warning. He warned of serious repercussions for Russia if the last-ditch talks over this weekend to resolve this crisis didn't persuade Moscow to soften what it's doing. In fact, Kerry went to London for a Friday meeting with the foreign minister who he's been talking to, Sergei Lavrov, ahead of the referendum vote, which, you know, is Sunday, in the Crimea region, to secede from the Ukraine and join the Russian Federation. So Europe's on board with this, but they're not as vocal. They're there with us, but the U.S. is definitely the lead dog in this one, arguing that Moscow is really pulling this referendum, and they're intimidating thousands of people with thousands of Russian troops controlling the area. So we'll see what Monday brings. And then I'm sure we're talking about massive sanctions. That's what we're talking about. The Senate Appropriations Subcommittee, they had a hearing, and they were talking about the State Department's budget. So I bet this is going to be the main thing. This is where the rubber meets the road. Okay, so you go ahead with this referendum, then we're going to have some sanctions. There's going to be sanctions here, and that's it. But Kerry's careful about the specifics of it, that there are contingencies, and we're looking at options that might or might not be available. Wow. What do you think the options are? Just sanctions or something else? Ooh. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, you know you can throughout the show. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Chris Christie, the round mound of sound, next on America Tonight.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Taxes were just raised $2,000 for the year, which is hard for a stay-at-home mom.
A second. Listen, let me just... Good. I'm glad you do. Either sit down and keep quiet or get out. One or the other. We're done with you.
All right, we're done with Chris Christie as well. I mean, there's a little example of him playing hardball. So how does the 55th governor of New Jersey and... still a leading member of the Republican Party, how does he go from the cover of Time magazine with Henry Kissinger calling him up to talk to him about pursuing the presidency to the position that he is in now? And what you heard there was hecklers disrupting a town hall meeting with the governor. You could hear the woman was talking about her taxes, and she was upset, and he was having none of it. And that's the kind of stuff that some of us really liked about Chris Christie, that he was all Jersey, meaning he wasn't going to take any crap, frankly, from anybody. And that made him attractive to people because we, and I know many of you feel this way, I'm not speaking for everybody listening to America Tonight, but many of us don't like the fake, phony two-stepping of the Potomac and the kiss-butt politicians. You know, how often do you hear that? How often do people call up and I say, what is it you're looking for in a president? Who would be a good president? Or what are the qualities you want to see in a president? So that is what made Chris Christie attractive to a lot of people. That he was, this was it. He was the bull. And too bad if you didn't like that he was too big and now he's trying to shrink himself. But this is Chris Christie. This is who he is. But lane closures on a bridge are the thing that really brought him down. It was a bridge that brought Chris Christie down. And I know there's other people listening who didn't like the bullying thing and thought, well, this is the thing that's going to bring him down. So he was at Glassboro University, which now is called Rowan University. And he was there for that town hall meeting, and it got kind of rowdy. It wasn't just one heckler. There were six or seven hecklers. They had to escort a couple of people out after yelling, screaming things about scandals and other things, just screaming them out. So it was, besides the tax policy things, that wasn't what the hecklers were doing. Instead, it was more that they were trying to disrupt the event. And there were, you know, now the media is like white on rice with Chris Christie. There were 13 television crews there and a bunch of reporters, so they all covered this whole thing. The governor announced, and this was the reason for the town hall meeting, that the average property tax bills, which are already the highest in the nation, rose 1.7% last year, which he said is evidence that his policies are actually working. And he's gone to the town halls because this was the thing that helped him get reelected. This is the thing he was known for. And if you remember, during his first term, and this was played all over nationally, and I think this started to get him a lot of that national coverage, that he wasn't afraid to pick a fight. He picked a fight during one of the town halls with a Navy SEAL. He called him an idiot during a shouting match. And then he also got into it with a public school teacher who ended up running for Congress. So this is, if you go to YouTube, there are many famous Chris Christie moments. But now this is just more, I think, pounding on Chris Christie. To me, there's no doubt with the disruptions, the audience, which was a lot of, some of the audience was supportive, but the, you know, there was boos, booing the hecklers, back and forth, that kind of thing. I think that it's pretty clear that Chris Christie has no shot. I mean, I'll call it. He has no shot at a, I think, at the Republican nod. In fact, also, earlier in the day on Thursday, a new poll came out, a CBS poll, that said Chris Christie may have credibility issues. That 63% of Americans don't believe, this is a Bloomberg News poll, 63% of Americans don't believe that Chris Christie knew nothing about the George Washington Bridge controversy. They don't believe it. So that's not good. In fact, 43% of Republicans who don't believe it. There's 63% of independents who don't believe him, and then 79% of Democrats. Well, of course, the number of Democrats is going to be higher, but the independent number is troubling, too, because that, I think, was really, honestly, the thought that Chris Christie would have a shot because he could win independent voters, that he could sway some people that maybe leaned a little more democratically, like he did in New Jersey. Because when you think of New Jersey, yes, there are plenty of Republicans in New Jersey, but it's not a Republican hotbed necessarily, right? So for him to get elected, a conservative Republican to get elected twice in New Jersey, said something, because a lot of people, almost despite their politics, voted for, you know, voted for Chris Christie. So at this point, he's got a credibility thing. And I think there's no way, if you think of the Republican Party, I don't know, maybe he survives in the beginning and he would have to just, if he got to the point where he was seriously being considered, he would have to just blow everybody away. I mean, he would have to be so incredible in his speeches to get to the point where he was even there on the stage debating, you know, for the Republicans, kind of duking it out. But I don't think so. I just don't believe that we'll see him in the end. I'd be stunned. I really would be very stunned, because his popularity down 32%. 32% from 50% in June before the bridge scandal unfolded. So even though there's all this conversation around the whole bridge thing, and there's nothing hardcore, that there's no tape, there's no email, there's no nothing specifically tied to him at this point that's been revealed, it doesn't matter. This won't go away from him. He cannot shrug it off. And that's what's showing. And I think that's the extra hecklers and all of that, clearly it still goes back to the main reason. It's he can't shake this bridge. He just can't shake it. And that's why you're seeing such a dip in the popularity. And this is what people are watching. So for whatever you think of polls, you know, you can manipulate numbers in different ways. But there's a reason why pollsters make a gazillion dollars. Why they're in the business. Because they pay attention to him. All politicians pay attention to him. The people that help them get elected pay attention to what the polls are saying. And that much of a dip is very tough to bounce back from. I mean, I'll say the number again. Bloomberg shows that he's down popularity-wise 32% from 50%. And the thought was initially, I mean, before anything was decided, that the person that would have a shot at Hillary Clinton would be Chris Christie and someone else that could really pull in a certain demographic. And it still didn't mean that he was the most popular guy and he was going to get the nomination. But that was just part of the conversation. And trust me, it was in high circles. You're not sending Henry Kissinger to make the conversation, or Mrs. Reagan wanting him to come out to the Reagan Library for a ceremony. I mean, you're not having those kind of people surrounding him and big money guys wanting to do fundraisers for him because they think, oh, this is he's a wild card, it's a possibility. I think that the thought was, no, this guy really could be our man. He really could be. But that's going away. It's evaporating, and I don't know that he can get himself into the running again. Maybe. But the Republicans don't want a repeat of the last time around where it was like a beauty pageant. There was too many Republicans that were left in the end for all of those debates. Because, sure, Democrats were watching and a lot of people were watching the debates, but it didn't narrow the field enough quickly enough. It didn't do any favors for the Republican Party to be in that position. So Chris Christie, probably, of all the glamour names thrown out there, is probably the first one out. And think of how hot his popularity was. He was on Saturday Night Live, showing he could kibitz and make fun of himself. Time Magazine bounced back from the pictures with Obama after the Sandy Superstorm and everything that did to New Jersey. But this is the one thing, even though he did go to CPAC and he was invited, he was snubbed last time around, but he was invited to CPAC and he did get a standing ovation and he did hold his own. He still has that bridge that he can't get around, just can't do it. Coming up, the Daily Salute on America Tonight.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
America tonight. Hope you have big plans throughout the rest of the weekend. You know, we have our cheap movie review coming up. Veronica Mars, the picture, is opening up this weekend, and she's kind of like the modern day. She was the modern day Nancy Drew, played by Kristen Bell. What's interesting here, and is worth mentioning, is, you know, this was would be a small picture, and of course, they're not interested in making those kind of movies in Hollywood. They're big budget pictures that cost a ton of money to make, that they're more interested in the blow them up kind of pictures. So to get this made, and it took a long time, she, along with the producer and a couple of other people, did the Kickstarter thing where you have fans and people chip in, and they raised $5 million in almost no time. I mean, almost no time. Boom, in a blink of an eye. It's the craziest thing, this whole crowd-sharing Kickstarter deal. Like money bombs and anything else for the for a good cause or for whatever reason or something people are interested in. So then Warner Brothers, I think, is the studio that stepped up, and then they put up the extra money needed to make it. They made it on a slim budget, but that's the only way that this movie got made. So how interesting is that? I think it's cool. It's and there have been a couple of other movies that have been made this way, too. Not a lot, but a handful that, okay, you're not going to give us the money for the picture. We really want to make this movie, and it doesn't have the things in it that you normally like to see. You know, swearing and gratuitous sex. It doesn't have the F-bomb 500 sometimes, like The Wolf of Wall Street. Well, we'll figure out a way to do it, and they did, so bravo. We'll see how well it does at the box office, but it's opening in, I think, a small release around the country, and then they're also, same time, it's out on video, so it's a, I think they're doing that. It's kind of a crazy way to make the movie and then ultimately to open up the movie, so how about that? All right, we have actually two daily salutes, two of them. The first one goes out to freestyle, American freestyle skier Gus Kenworthy. We talked about him on the show. If you don't know who he is, he's not a household name. I mean, we forget the names, no offense to them, of the Olympians. But when he went to Sochi, he was horrified by, he ended up getting a silver medal, by the way, but he was horrified by what he saw with the dogs, like how they were being shot and there were stray dogs everywhere and that whole thing. So he wanted to, he's like, forget it, I'm going to adopt some of these puppies and this dog that I've seen that's calmed my nerves every single time that I've been waiting to make my run. So there were three puppies, their mother, and a fourth stray now are in New York City as of Wednesday, and they were reunited with Kenworthy on Thursday, and they're making their way to Colorado. So it took a whole bunch, it was a pain in the neck. It took a whole bunch of paperwork to make it happen, but they got it done, and he saved all those dogs, which I think is pretty cool. How about some applause from that studio audience? Thinking. We have a lot of stray dogs, a lot of animals that need adopting in the United States, so here now we're taking some of Russia's problem. But the what they were doing was so inhumane. And I mean, not everyone certainly there, but we knew it was happening. So, and he didn't like that idea, so good for him, because it was a pain in the neck, and there were other things that he could have done, but no way. He saw it, he didn't want that to happen, and he put that on his, you know, on his agenda, and it was a big, big hassle. They weren't really wanting him to do that, trying to you know, block him. So he did all the paperwork and all the crazy things that had to happen to have those dogs come to the United States. So I'm sorry. I think that's worthy of a daily salute. All right. The next one is this one. You know, I have this thing about Crocs and alligators and all of that. Well, somehow, and don't ask me how, there is a Nile crocodile that was captured in the Florida Everglades. I mean, a deadly croc. And this croc has been eluding the wildlife people there for 2 years. So they were very proud of themselves, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. They say they believe the 5.5-foot croc escaped maybe from someplace in Miami-Dade County. So, because two other crocs were captured in 2009 and 2012. They're looking at DNA to confirm it. The croc was about 37 pounds, but the Nile crocs can grow up to 17 feet. So they're 3 feet longer than the Florida crocodiles, right? And they are far more deadly. You know, it's like when you see the old footage you used to see, and we know what's the difference between an alligator and a crocodile, and you'd see the crocs would move so fast. Like, there's no way you're getting away from a crocodile. And that was that kind of crocodile, causing all kinds of problems. And, I mean, eluding them in Florida like nobody's business. But finally they catch up with it and get them. And so bravo to how diligent they were at the Fish and Wildlife. I mean, that's what they do for a living. But still, they were, from what I understand, they were working, you know, extra days. Every time they had some kind of a sighting, they were really trying to afraid that something was going to happen. They were really trying to nail the croc, as it were, and they got their man. So how about some applause for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation folks? Woohoo! Nathan, can you imagine waking up to get your newspaper or just going out to your mailbox and you are confronted by a crocodile?
No, I'm already confused. I don't wake up or go get my mail. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, like, maybe if I was going out on my, I don't know, what would it be? I'm going to work, and I'm about to get on my bicycle, and a croc has eaten my tire. There it would be.
Well, it really is bad in Florida sometimes because now of what's happened with the land, that there are people that have woken up and they go out to their front porch, and there's an alligator on the front porch. That's scary.
It would be very scary, you know, but it, like when I was a kid and you find yourself around snakes, you know, just stay calm. Don't give them a reason to be just as afraid of you as you're afraid of them. And then contact the proper authorities.
That's right. Get those wildlife people out there immediately. You know, when I last time I was in Florida, I went to this thing with my nephew called Gatorland. And, man, the alligators that I saw, they let him get close to the alligators and the guys were with him. And he could throw the chicken thing out to them. Boy, that scared me.
Those are hungry puppies.
Yeah, and as I said to the guy, I know you haven't had an accident here, but these things dart all over the place, and they want the chicken stuff that you're throwing at them. But what if one sneaks over? Oh, no, that doesn't happen. We have these sticks that we poke them with. I'm like, a stick? Are you kidding me? So I got the picture, and then I got him out of there as fast as I could. Believe me. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.